God bless you. We're glad to be with you again for Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to speak your word. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful program. And we thank you that you're going to use it, Lord, to open someone's heart today. During a time when we should all be thankful, no matter what we're going through. Be with us now. In Jesus' mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. All right, we were talking about the heart. And what better time to talk about the heart again as this part two of making sure that we are seeking to have the mind, the heart of God. All through his word, he shows us how that is gained. But he shows us that all of us have heart problems. I know they talk about people being sick with having heart attacks, and too much cholesterol, and eating too much fatty food. But the real heart problem is when you don't know who God is and you're not living with him. You don't have him in your heart. The whole thing about us being born again is that we now know that God has helped us to become what he says, being born again. That means to have a brand new knowledge and understanding of who God is through his touch. It says to be born from above. We were born physically, but now he says we need to be born from above. He has to be the one involved in touching our hearts and making it so that we can see him. The Bible says the only ones that are going to be able to see him is those who have a pure heart. So we're going to look at that thing about being having a pure-hearted person. In other words, trying to be like Christ Jesus. There's only one Christian that walked on this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. The rest of us are trying to walk. Some of us taking baby steps. Some of us are trying to run with him. So let us be about that. Now let's look at Galatians 2:20. This is Paul talking about the law and how the law was being pulled into the freedom of Christianity, for there's liberty in Christ Jesus. But the Galatians were trying to bring circumcision and other ritualistic actions to being a Christian. And Paul is still trying to get them to understand that it's a change of heart. It's changing from your centeredness on yourself to being Christ-centered. To have your life not to revolve around you, not you being the universe, but to be in his universe. And he's the only one who can bring you there. And you know the thing about Christianity is after you get saved, God, when you say, yes, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me and forgive me of all my sins. When you invite him in and acknowledge him, you know, and he changes your whole life, life becomes a joy and a journey. But it also helps us to see who's the most important person to keep us on that journey and on that straight and narrow road by following him. When we walk after Christ, we will gain the same kind of mind, heart, and spirit that he has. Because the Bible promises us that. In 2 Timothy, it says that he will give us, when we accept him as our personal Savior, when he comes into our heart, he gives us at that time love, power, and a sound mind. So now we see this acknowledged here in a statement that I think is one of the most beautiful statements I think Paul wrote. And one of them, other than 1 Corinthians 13. The love chapter concerning the heart also. But he says in Galatians 2:20, he says this. He says, so now it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. This life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. 21 says, I refuse to reject the grace of God, but if a person is put right with God through the law, It means that Christ died for nothing. One of the things that we want to see in this lesson is that there is an ability for us to inherit the kind of life and the kind of heart. And that's what life, that's what heart symbolizes, is the life of a person. And that God wants us to all have the same kind of heart and mind and spirit of his only begotten son, Jesus, but to have still have our own personality and character, because the secret to all this is that God wanted a family. When you read in the Word, you'll find out that God wanted a family of people who have the same character as Jesus and who would be just like him, but diverse. That's why he made us the way we are. All the Bible says in Revelation, he said around the throne will be all types of people, tribes and different racial and ethnic groups from all the nations of the earth who have, by faith, put their heart, their trust in God. We also understand that being a person who has had that heart change, who has a renewed heart condition, because we had to really get a heart transplant. We had to get a transplanted heart from Christ. He gave each one of us his heart so that we would live. So we thank God for that. One of the things we need to understand, too, is that he wants us to be, the kind of heart we should have is one that is, number one, totally surrendered to him. Totally surrendered to Christ. So that we can become that perfect bond servant, where we know that God has allowed us into his holy place. Number two, a heart that is totally sold out to God. Number two is a heart that's totally sold out to God. When we got born again, I know I'm just going to talk about me. I'll use me. When I got born again, it was a eureka experience for me. It was, oh, now I understand. I was no longer trying to obey God through my own self-will or trying to be to live up to being a Christian. I became a Christian. He gave me the power to be one. And it was based on his word, showing me that. That Galatians 2:20, 1 Corinthians 13, that you, anything that you do, whatever your ministry, your preaching, your teaching, you're being a missionary, you're being a martyr, if you're not doing it because of the love of Christ Jesus being in your heart, by seeking the kingdom of God with your whole heart, then it's all for naught. The Bible says it's like a clanging bell. You're just making a lot of noise and it symbolizes nothing. So yes, we need to be totally sold out to God. And if you're not, you need to ask him to help you to receive his truth. That when you're doing something from the power of your heart, nothing's impossible for you. They used to tell us playing football, you got to have a lot of heart to play football, because when things look totally bad during the game, say the end of the game and you're down and you're down by 3 points or 2 points, and it seems as though, hey, the clock is ticking, and you don't have any timeouts, but the real warrior, the one who has the heart of Christ, knows that something can still happen that could cause you to have the victory. And that's happened to us on our team, where someone trying to run the ball in, someone hit the runner, he fumbled the ball, one of our team members picked the ball up, ran all the way back for a touchdown. You know, and that's because he didn't give up. He knew that, hey, while there's time on the clock, you still got a chance. While your heart is still beating, you still got a chance. So if you're a person out there listening and you're saying, and you don't, you know in your heart you don't have Christ, you know if you died today you wouldn't go to heaven. You know today that you've been doing a lot of wrong and you don't even feel forgiven, but it's while the clock is still ticking, while your heart is still beating, you still can be one who can be totally sold out to God. Number three, to be totally committed. Committed to what? Committed to serving God. Committed to, really, you know what? One of the things you need to realize is that God doesn't demand you to work or do anything like that. He doesn't demand anything of us. The main thing he wants us to do is to love him. Love comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. The heart is the center of your soul, and it lets you know when contact has been made. It lets you know when reality has set in. And the thing about serving Jesus Christ is one day you realize, after asking the same question that Pilate asked, what is truth? And he realized that truth was more than just a philosophical statement. That truth had to be a person. And when he looked at Christ, he said, I see no fault in this man. He realized that Jesus was the truth. And he is. He is the truth. He's the truth about what reality is all about, because he is the ultimate reality. He created reality. He created the world. He created the universe. So that's enough to give you the kind of power of heart and spirit to serve him right there. Number four is to be wholly sanctified. Now, this sanctification thing is, a lot of people have a lot of problems about that. They don't want to accept it. But sanctification truly is to be separated to serve the Lord. Separated to be his child. Separated to be about what he would have you to be about in this world and in the world to come. And a lot of times when you have sanctification really means to allow God to take things out of us. And we let go of them also. We don't try to hold on to them. We say, Lord, you know, I need to be holy or wholesome. And to be that way, I have to give you not my will, but thy will be done. And when you open up your heart to that type of obedience, God starts to pull the things out of you that you're having a problem with. You know, a lot of us got problems. Some people got problems with smoking, some with drinking, some with drugs, some with all kinds of things of the flesh. We know that. And God's not mad at you if you're a Christian who still has these problems. But the reason why a lot of us are not delivered from them is because we're not committed through heart to having those things removed from us. Nothing's impossible with God. The flesh is very strong and it wants its own way. But he can help you to be victorious and he can deliver. Part of being a Christian and being part of his family is that he can deliver you from anything that is trying to oppress or annoy you or pursue you to keep you from the greatness that God would have you to experience in this world. And greatness doesn't just come from being someone who is what we call a worldly success. Greatness is called on by having a spirit or a humble heart. When you're humble, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, when you humble yourself, he will exalt you in due time. And it's almost, as we say, we have to pick up your cross daily. You're exchanging and saying, Lord, as I am today, help me to carry this cross in my reflected heart so I can know how to serve you. Today, help me to make a decision that I'm going to walk like you and talk like you and love like you. And the only way I can do it is through the strength that you have given me through the power of the Holy Spirit. The next thing I just want to come across and let you see, and I'm just trying to give you some of the nuggets that God has given me through, you know, 30 years or more of preaching, is that first of all, that he is real. God is real. Some of us don't treat him like a person because we don't see him, but he is real. And to have that kind of relationship, it kind of says it comes from a heart of love, from heart to heart and breast to breast. It's not about knowledge. It's not about knowledge. It's about you surrendering your heart. And once you surrender your heart, you gain what they call the fear of God. The fear of God is not fear. It's a respect and it's a knowing that only comes from when you accept the grace, the free gift of God, which is his grace and his mercy. It says in Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 2:8, he talks about we're saved by faith through grace, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So it's not about what you see. Satan used knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil, to woo our forebears, Adam and Eve, into sin, seduce them into sin. But God is trying to let us know we need the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God brings along, he gives us what you need to know about him, which is knowledge, the knowledge of God. And that's the information we all need to be seeking every day. Lord, how can I be more like you and talk like you and walk like you? He said, well, I gave you the playbook. I gave you, like I say, the old football analogy. I gave you the playbook. I gave you the Bible. The Bible is his thoughts, his ideas, and his stories. And they come to life. Whenever, once we get saved, they come to life. And we're seeking him. We have a hungry heart. We're seeking him. We're thirsty. We got a thirsty heart. That's when he opens the door for us, for the flood of him, his love to engulf us and empower us and help us to be all we can for him. Here's the things to help you to gain this heart again. I have some other, another little checklist. And I think I got this from, I think it's Smith Wigglesworth. I think he might have said this years ago. He predicted that in 100 years there would be the greatest heart change to hit the church and that there would be a great revival that will come. And we should be around that time period. Should be coming in, the second rain or the latter rain. But right now it says, I'm going to ask you, and he says, are you, number one, are you redeemed? If you're not, you need to ask the Lord to slay me, crucify me, crucify my heart. In Ezekiel, it says that God will give you a heart of flesh. He'll give you a heart of flesh. And that that heart of flesh is a heart that is exchanged for a heart of stone. A lot of our folks, we call them cold-hearted, hard-hearted Hannah and all those kind of things. It's because basically they are still exhibiting the traits of Satan who allows you to, you're born with it. You don't realize it, but you're born with that stony, rocky, hard heart. So God, redeem me, slay me, deliver me from that hard heart. Number two, God wants us again. He wants us to be sanctified. The only way it can happen, you have to say, Lord, cleanse me. And that means cleanse my heart. Cleanse my heart. Well, I had a dream one time that God had taken me on a journey through my heart. And I had a flashlight. And, of course, he's the light of the world. But he was walking through my heart. He said, look at that. I said, oh, wow. I took my flashlight and looked up on the walls of my heart. And it was all kind of things that were just ridiculous, filthy things that were that had happened in my life that he reminded me of. And I had to say, Lord, I repent. Please forgive me. We're walking a little bit farther. It's like walking through a sewer, to be honest about it. And I said, oh, Lord, what's that smell? He said, well, let's go and look at that. And it was like a cesspool of, oh, Lord. And this was like before I was called to the ministry. He took me on this journey. I said, oh, Lord, please forgive me of that. And, you know, I guess this went on and on. And I said, oh, Lord, you want me? I said, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. He said, I know this. I said, oh, Lord, you got a sense of humor too. So we've been laughing and talking ever since then together. And that's what a surrendered heart will give you, the ability to have a wonderful personal relationship with Christ. Three, I'm going to hurry now. Committed. You need to be committed. That means, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Too many Christians are trying to live the Christian life without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Spirit comes in. At salvation. Then baptism comes when you invite the Holy Spirit to come in. Amen. And so we need to be and stay filled. It means because as you serve, you run out of gas, that spiritual gas. So to keep your heart right, you got to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Number four, you need to be anointed. That means, Lord, use me. Don't try to go out there and trying to do God's will without his anointing. And that happens a lot of times. And that's from humility, and that's from realizing that God can, when people see you, they don't see you, they see Christ in you. That's what anointing can become to you as you seek his anointing for preaching, teaching, and anything else that God will have you to do. And number five, Lord, lead me. And that comes from just living, praying that experience. So what can we do? We need to say, Lord, we need to give him that prayer. Lord, give me a hunger and a thirsting heart. Make me a person that will not embarrass you, but will give you glory and honor for the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name I pray and ask these things. Amen.